Session number 10314.
Riley, are you for?
Well, despite the fact that Burma had been the rice bowl of the Far East, at this stage of the war, with all the problems that the war had brought, Burma was really a country in which rice was becoming comparatively scarce. And we used to have, daylight drops, free drops from Dakotas, of huge sacks of rice and grain, which we distributed to the local population and to those who were helping us. And we identified the routes that these escaping Japanese were using to try to get down to the Sitang. We obviously shifted all the boats that were on the Sitang from the west bank to the east bank, so there was no possibility of obtaining any form of craft to cross the river. And we were able to assist the army in staging ambushes both night and day, and created some very serious problems for the Japanese. It was a very successful operation in Burma altogether. Both in terms of information we were able to collect, targets we were able to supply to the RAF, and of actual support, reconnaissance and support we were able to give to the army proper. So in a country where one would perhaps think that the type of operation that Chebras were designed for, they proved highly effective in that type of guerrilla fighting. And we were there. The bomb was dropped in August on Nagasaki, or whatever it was. We were in Burma when we heard about the end of the war in Europe. Of course, that was a day for some celebration for those who had been involved in Europe. And I heard of the radio, of course, when the bomb had been dropped in Japan. August, one would have thought, well, that was it, pack up, go home. But far from it. Our troubles were really only just starting then, because the Japanese would not believe it. And convincing the retreating Japanese soldier that he should give himself up was really a very difficult task. And they would rather commit suicide or blow themselves up, and if they could, blow you up with them. And so one just could not take chances at all under those circumstances. And so from really from August until the end of until November 1945, we were still very heavily committed in dealing with the retreating Japanese.
Were the Japanese soldiers in a pathetic condition?
Yes, very, very pathetic.
Can you describe it?
Well, many of them were. They were not. They lost most of their heavy. They had no heavy equipment, having trailed through the jungle for several hundred miles. They were short of food. They lived off the land as they went. They were suffering from typical tropical illnesses. They were short of medicines. They were short of drugs, but they still had this fanatical zeal to die for the emperor. They'd ceased to be operational units in the sense of organized at brigade or even regimental battalion level, but there were small groups of about 50 to 100 people who were still determined that they would not surrender. We used to leave these surrender leaflets in Japanese and the We used to have the RAF drop them along jungle trails, and we used to pin them, nail them onto trees and one thing and another. They just wouldn't believe it. And of course, as the months dragged by, we used to get the odd... Getting a prisoner when we first went into Sitang Valley was almost impossible. You occasionally got your information through picking up identification papers and the like from dead Japs. That's where you got your information from. Taking a life prisoner in the early days was impossible. Gradually, you started getting prisoners because it did have some effect on them, but they were very, very determined lot, really, right up to end. As I say, although the war had officially ended in August, we were still having some very considerable problems with them and some pretty nasty fighting right through to November and the like.
What would be the demeanour of the prisoners?
The officers and the NCOs were they tended to remain aloof and to regard themselves as superior. The ordinary soldier, particularly if you've been trailing through the jungle for a couple of months, it was beginning to show with him. He lost his edge a little bit. They weren't a rabble by any manner of means.
Did you see any of the British or Allied POWs?
Not in Burma, but I did because after the end of November, I went out to Rangoon and went back to Calcutta. And then, as an entirely separate exercise, I went to the Dutch East Indies, to Sumatra. But there we did see quite a bit of the Dutch population that had been interned in prisoner war camps. Whilst we went attached to a regiment, a squadron of the Royal Armoured Corps, Duke of Wellington's, our role was to help and to assist in the rehabilitation of the prisoners of war. And that was quite a horrendous business. But really that had nothing to do with the Jedburgh and Force 136 story. It just happened that we were on tap at the end of the war, and it seemed a useful thing to use us for.
Which of the two, France and Burma, did you feel you achieved the most in, if it's possible to make such a comparison?
Well, it's very difficult to exercise a judgment in that respect. In three totally different operations. I suppose Brittany was a fairly straightforward operation for which the Jedburghs were really designed. I think if we had gone to France a month earlier, we would probably have been more effective. Second operation, I think was highly successful. I think it played a very significant role in assisting the Allies in the fighting in that particular corner of France, Besançon and Belfort. From the point of view of a straightforward guerrilla operation of working with the local community of intelligence, and in a country where one didn't speak a word of the local language, I would put the Burmese operation as the most successful. The extent of the damage and mayhem we did create amongst the occupying forces in Burma was really quite something. Yeah, I think I'd say the Burmese operation was probably the most successful. Although maybe one the lessons one had learned in Europe were more readily translatable into a country which certainly does lend itself to guerrilla warfare. I mean, the very nature of the countryside, these three great rivers with three plains, and the rest of the country being ideal bandit country, for want of a better name, where you can just sort of hide out without very little chance of being caught, really. Very little chance of aerial reconnaissance picking you out in those incredibly concentrated and deep jungles of Burma. Just made it a country that was ideal for that type of a warfare. And, you know, it was a classic area where you could... The weaponry that you had at your disposal was quite adequate to take on. You weren't taking on a panzer division. You weren't taking on a highly modernised, mechanised... mobile army. You were dealing with mainly lightly armed foot soldiers, and guerrillas come in stuck, and resistance people come on stuck badly when they do try to take on these major targets, which are far beyond their capability. It's easy enough to shoot a sentry, but to take a Tiger tank on is not the recipe for success.